You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. Oh, man, there's so much to talk about. We're in episode 101. We're past the 100 triple digits.
Oh, my God. They didn't cancel us.
No, we're still here. Who can cancel us? We do this on our own. Anyway, in the first segment, we have a lot of fun. We talk a little bit about what we got going on. We got a nice big soccer tournament coming up. Plus, we also talk about USA beasting Ghana. And we talk about Germany beasting everybody else.
And in the second segment, we have no guests this week. It's just Alexis, Christian, straight up gully ass podcast.
But still 3 hours.
Obviously. Things are not changing, but we talked some U.S. Open Cup, some great games. Obviously, Cincinnati killing it. Miami embarrassing MLS sides. It's incredible. All these lower league teams are giving MLS a run for their money. And we talk about MLS, the team, that league that's going to get taken over by these lower leagues. great games out of the Cali Clásico. Some hot games. Some center backs that are way too angry. All this and more
on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
What's up? Hello, hello.
Oh, man, it feels so different being on this side of 100.
That sounds like something somebody who just turned 101 years old would say, like,
or just turned 100.
Sure.
Now you're on this side of 100.
Yeah, that's right. But yes, this is episode 101. So this is a new era.
101. We teaching you guys
exactly. So this is gonna be the
intro,
the podcast tutorial episode.
Yeah.
Of how to start your own podcast
and how to record more segments than actually make it to air because you don't know what you're doing for the first 30 episodes, but now we're good.
Yeah, this would be a great instructional podcast on how to do a soccer comedy podcast. Yeah. Imagine we just spent 90 minutes explaining how to do a soccer comedy podcast.
Well, luckily, that's only half the show. So we still got a lot more time to get into regular general conversation.
Welcome, everyone.
Yeah.
This is the Cooligans. We are the Cooligans.
That's right. My name is Alexis Guerrero.
My name is Christian Polanco.
And he's already said it, but we're the Cooligans.
Yeah, that's right. And obviously, we are stand-up comedians who host a comedic soccer podcast. And we focus on American soccer. And and this is why you're here.
Because it's the gulliest soccer podcast world.
We also are ex-cons.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention
that. We keep it gully. Inside your niche. Anyway, if you don't know what that is, go back and listen to all 100 episodes.
Yeah, this is a whole... We're going to have to come up with... maybe we'll do a blog post of this. Just like a Cooligan's glossary.
Oh, yeah. A legend.
A little legend.
a little bit of a legend. That's us. We're a little legends.
You know, you go to the back of the book...
Right.
And you got to look up because there's all these asterisks above all these words.
Right.
And you need to know what they mean because you may not.
How dare you not know what they mean, right? But we're not expecting everyone to go back and listen to every single episode. So we should. We should do something.
Loved us, you would.
I mean, if you'd be here since day one if you loved us. But we should. Actually, people should tweet at us. Tweet at us. Let us know some of the words that we should include in a legend. And maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, that'd be a fun little thing to put together. So
most of them are going to be sexual.
That's about 80% of our show.
Not a bad ratio.
So
up in your ratio. That's a new one. I got a new one.
Thank you for listening. A bunch of stuff happened. Obviously, we were very happy with how episode 100 was received.
Oh my God! Yeah, very much so.
And so many positive comments, so many supportive words from a lot of people. So thank you.
It was also just so touching.
That's
to
right.
To hear. And just side note, my wife heard the last segment of the last podcast because she doesn't have 7 hours to spare, so she set aside about a day and a half just to listen to the last segment. And she was floored. She was floored at how much this podcast means to a lot of people and some of the nice things that everyone has said. It's amazing. So, you know, from my family to yours, and I don't just mean Christian. I also mean my wife. It means the world to us that you guys are enjoying it and that we get to be a part of your week. That's really important for us.
Yeah, that is a thing. You know, when we started doing this, we didn't really you don't really think about it that way.
Not at all.
Because look, we probably mentioned before, but we had our own comedy podcast, like
super successful,
separate one, and they were just a hit. But no, the main difference was. When I used to do a podcast about relationships, and I've talked to comedians about how they handled relationships,
and
right?
You learn nothing.
I was only wasted 2.5 years of my life doing that.
I know what every one of your girlfriends says.
No, I learned quite a bit. But I would get a healthy amount of downloads, not as much as this podcast does.
Yeah.
But I would get, a couple thousand downloads, right? Yeah. And so I knew people were listening, but nobody ever talked to me about it.
Right. It's like the ether is listening.
Yeah. Well, the numbers are going up. It's not just me.
People are here. We don't know where they are, but they're here.
So that's the main difference, is that people, when it comes to soccer, they want to engage and they want to talk to us. And that is what makes it feel more special.
It's also, I feel like we've built a bit of a community. And one of the things that I love about it is it's all inclusive. If you're not one of the people that are currently tweeting at us and talking to us, join in. This is an all-inclusive community.
Except
Cooligans
only,
is for everybody.
Only if you're, but if you're a homophobe, you're not included.
No.
There's a couple of rules.
You can still listen.
You can still listen.
But just don't get involved in the conversation. We don't want to hear from you. But feel free to hit us with a download. Even give us 5 stars. Why not?
We'll take a positive review from a homophobe.
Oh, my God, yeah.
A racist?
Leave a positive review.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Download all you want, racist.
If you're homophobic and racist, first of all, how'd you even find us? Second of all, why are you still listening? Third of all, you might as well hit us with 5 stars.
You're already here.
I mean, come on.
Your phone's right in your hand. Just right there.
No one's watching. We don't have our photo on there, so no one knows it's two Hispanics.
No one will know. Yeah. And it's two guys, so they might be right. Gay. Who knows?
When was the last time you enjoyed some content that had two men and then you left 5 stars? Probably, if you're a homophobe, it's probably what you're hiding. deep down inside all those Pornhub videos you've watched. But now's the time to leave 5 stars for the cool.
Exactly. So, so thank you for that. That was awesome.
It was amazing.
All those people. But there, a lot happened. Obviously,
did a lot happen?
I mean,
enough. Some stuff happened.
Enough for us to create a 4-hour podcast out of this one.
And happy 4th. Everyone's listening to this after the 4th of July. So, yeah, happy 4th of July. I hope everyone had a great barbecue. Nobody burned their eyebrows off.
Sure. Or
trying to make a good steak.
Or lost a thumb.
God forbid.
Or an index finger. Playing with firecrackers. We're in New York where firecrackers are illegal.
Don't tell that to the hood kids a block away from me who threw like M80s into the subway stairs.
Oh,
as
boy.
I was coming out the stairs, I heard a big bang, pop, crackle. I was like, all right. And a bunch of Puerto Rican kids were just laughing when I got outside. I was like, I didn't need those ears anyway. So,
I mean, when I hear that, I'm just, I would be just relieved that it's not a gun.
Of course.
Like, oh my God, these boys are improving their lives.
Throwing
bombs at
God.
People.
They've learned.
Look, there's actual growth.
Yeah. What I love is like, there was this, you see the white flash before it pops.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, pop, big bang, right? And then it's all tiles down there, so it just rattles. And I walk out of the subway like nothing happened, and they're staring at me like, maybe he's deaf.
Yeah.
No, I grew up in Newark.
Yeah.
you need a lot more than that.
It's like there's a lot of Brooklyn transplants that are very startled when stuff like this happens. But it's just like,
because you ain't from here.
Yeah. That, you know, that an M80 is my alarm clock.
Yeah.
Until I wake up.
M80. That's nothing. That's how I know dinner's ready. Yeah. I mean, look, if I hear a loud bang or any loud commotion, I look down. If I don't see blood on me, I move. I keep it moving. All right. I keeps it moving.
But we should talk about a thing. So we're going to be hosting this soccer tournament.
We're hosting more tournaments, which is awesome.
It's been crazy. The next month is going to be a little intense.
Yeah.
The Cooligans are being sought after.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about this one first, which is the later one.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing, we're going to be hosting a soccer tournament in Brooklyn at the LIU Long Island University Fields. It's like in downtown Brooklyn, really nice area. No M80s anywhere.
No.
So So it's called Football Vogue. It's the Football Vogue's fives.
Yeah, Football Vogue is a website that I think currently right now they just sell like sort of Under Armour type equipment.
Yeah, it's like soccer like merchandise.
Yeah. But it's two awesome dudes. They play soccer and they're creating. One of them is from Sweden, and apparently soccer tournaments are extremely popular in Sweden. Sort of like these like quick one day soccer tournaments. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily have celebrities involved. You pay to bring your club in or a team in, and then the winner gets like some money or prize. And stuff. So he sort of sprung the idea out here, and they're going to start doing it, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Young dudes, going to be a lot of hip hop music playing. Like, it's exactly what we like to do.
Exactly.
Minus all the running around and sweating. I mean, I'm not getting into that.
I mean, I do. Yeah. I enjoy that.
My hip was stiff for 12 hours after that.
So this is what, so.
But we went, yeah, we did a photo shoot, which is really cool, and a couple videos.
Videos and stuff. So we did like a promo shoot for this soccer tournament that they asked us to help them out with. So we went, and so obviously we were with like a bunch of like either soccer or like freestylers, just great players.
Yeah, one dude just showed up with a drone, a couple great players. One guy who helps kids like come out of the hood. One of them was one of those kids.
Yeah.
Who looked the oldest out of everyone, and he was 17 years old.
That's right.
This dude has lived a rough life.
we kept calling him Danny Welbeck.
He looked exactly like Danny Welbeck.
And he was Honduran, but he looked exactly like Danny Welbeck. It was
hilarious.
Surreal. He was 17. But
sweetheart of a kid, too.
Nice guy.
But there's a real anger underneath that smile. You could see it.
But I mean, I play casually. I play, you know, we play in the NYC Footy League. I play at Brooklyn Bridge Park. I play in Park Slope with
you're a bit of a recreational footballer.
Yeah. And
I have in the past.
but I play with like a bunch of like Brooklyn, you know, young Brooklyn dads. Like just mid-30s, late 30s.
You basically have like a startup company's outing every Sunday is what you have.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. These kids that showed up are serious about soccer.
Exactly. And I had never really been around like athletes playing, you know,
footballers.
Like kicking around and taking shots, taking penalties. And the first thing I noticed out of everything was just like, I'm incredibly weak.
Yeah.
I have very weak legs.
The sheer velocity.
The strength that they were able to blast the ball.
And I remember some of the advice that like my first coach ever gave me, like you bend your knee when you get to the back and it helps with velocity. And then we were just talking, you and I were sort of sharing like quick little hints.
Yeah.
And then one guy walks over and we're like, yeah, what do you think? Blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, yeah, man, it's, you guys got to build your quads. He just like walks away. He's like, you ain't got no legs, man.
You know, I'll totally admit after we did that, I literally looked up on YouTube. I'm like, how do you kick stronger?
Yeah. I didn't. I tried to buy a burger and the guy who owns it wasn't there. And I'm like, oh, I'm not paying for it. So I left and then I went home and I sat down on the couch for about an hour.
Wait, you get free burgers somewhere?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yo.
Remember, he didn't hook you up?
Nobody hooked me up with a free burger anyway.
Wait, you paid? Did you get the burger?
Wait, next door? Over here?
Across the street.
Oh, bro, no. Across,
when we went downstairs, you saw the owner. I left already. Right after the photo shoot.
Oh, no. I didn't get it for free.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get it for free.
Oh, that's not right. All right, I got to talk to the guy. Whatever. As I eat my free burger, I'll be like, by the way, at least give the kid like free fries or something.
Look at that. You got the burger plug.
Dude, I'm plugged in. But anyway, so like I sat on the couch for an hour. I got up and I could not bend my left leg. And I know what happened too, because I've for the crossbar challenge video, I kicked the ball way more times than I did for this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was perfectly fine. Part of it might have been the turf. The other part of it, so now I know what all these professional players talk about when they want to play on turf. I get it, guys.
Oh yeah, that's,
I totally get it.
That's the issue. Yeah.
I totally get it, guys. I'm one on, I mean, Thierry Henry famously never wanted to play on turf.
That's right.
By the way, guys, I side with Thierry Henry.
Yeah, you and Didier Drogba are the same guy.
Yeah. No, exactly the same. I mean, we both have stopped civil wars. We both own clubs that we play for. The other thing was, at one point I go to try to kick it as hard as I can, and I remember tweaking, like I remember feeling a slight pull in my muscle. It never bothered me, so I'm like, oh, I must be fine. The moment I sat and didn't do anything, And I got up. I was like, I couldn't move. My wife's like, are you that out of shape? I'm like, no, it's an injury. I swear to God, it's an injury. This has nothing to do with
just 4 to 6 weeks, leg strain.
Yeah. This has nothing to do with working out for the first time ever. This is more to do with, you know, something must have happened. Something bad must
just
have happened.
Just a freak accident.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm an Adonis, you know.
Stuff like this doesn't happen to me.
To people like us. And people like us, I mean, peak shape.
Yeah, you're in the prime of your career.
When people look at me, they think peak.
But it was a lot of fun, and it was interesting being around such people that were actually very, very good at soccer. And
there was one thing we did where we kind of roasted them a bit, and some of those guys had the eyes of child soldiers, just like there's no sense of humor in them whatsoever.
So these videos will be out soon, but we did a fun segment where they were doing keepy uppies and we were sort of roasting them as they were doing it to get basically get them to like screw up.
Yeah. And so they're trying to juggle and we're trying to roast them.
Yeah. And
Christian's just like a nice guy. Like, yeah. Christian doesn't like roasting.
It's not really, not that I don't like it, but it's just like, it doesn't, my inclination is not to be mean, especially with someone I've never met.
Oh no, that's my first. You'll see it in the video. I mean, it's almost my go-to move. It's like, let me be mean and see how much I can get away.
The reason I don't like it, not that I don't like it, but the reason I get hesitant with the jokes I know I'm capable of making, because the easy jokes are like,
oh, you're afraid of your own power.
When you don't know somebody, you pick on the, like, it's incredibly shallow, right?
Yeah, so it's immediate. Whatever you just
you make fun of what they look like.
Nationality. Oh, it's all the best stuff.
So it's like racist and shallow. So I'm like,
hence my relative amount of skill here.
This is where you shine.
Yeah. How much they were showing off hitting the ball is how much I was showing off by just being kind of, I don't know, nasty to them.
Yeah. I took the approach of being like very sweet and polite to them.
And that still worked.
And that made them more uncomfortable.
Yeah. That still worked. I think they were prepared for us to say like nasty things.
Yeah.
And then you were like, you have a nice shirt. And they're like, what? Yeah. I mean, that's not one of the jokes. I'm just saying, like, that's the general tone of what you were saying.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Kind of caring.
So
you'd be like, where are you from? Queens. Oh, that's very nice. And they're like, what is that? What is going on here?
I'm just having a speed date with these guys.
It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. So that's going to be July 22nd. And if you're in Brooklyn, if you're interested in playing in the tournament.
Oh man. Yeah. There's a lot of prizes, up to $3,000 worth of prizes. And if you go to, footballvogue.com.
Yeah, so it's football, like the Spanish football. So FUTBOLVOGUE.com.
Yeah, and if you Google, you could Google Football Vogue Fives. That's the name of the tournament. If you use Cooligans as a code, they'll give you $50 off if you want to put a team in. So it's $300 for a team. If you use our code, it's only $250. It's not bad. Huh?
So if you have if you're listening to this and you have a couple bros that play.
Or Christos FC
or ladies, it's
open to everybody.
It's open to everybody.
Everybody could get got. But yeah, I mean, what, Christos FC? Remember them? The bar workers,
sort of beer league,
that scored on DC United. You guys got $300. Go $250 if you use our code altogether. Come up, win this joint.
Yeah, Christos. Imagine Christos shows up.
That'd be dope, wouldn't it?
That'd be insane. Yeah, they still have like beer stains all over their all over their kits.
They walk in with Das boots.
So we're gonna be there July 22nd, the whole day. And even if you don't want to play in the tournament and you just want to hang out with us,
it's free. Yeah, come
it's
hang
free.
Out.
Just come hang out with us.
Food trucks. There's gonna be prizes. It's great.
That's in the LIU field in downtown Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's like DeKalb, the corner of like DeKalb and like Ashland.
Something like that. So yeah, we're going to post about it as well. So come check that out. So let's talk about some other stuff. Obviously.
Actual football stuff. Actual soccer stuff has happened.
The Confederation Cup ended.
That's right.
And obviously Germany won, which is not a big surprise.
No.
But
with their B squad.
Yeah. A lot of people expected Chile to win. They had a great team.
Chile looked really strong, and I think this is a big issue, is like all the strongest teams look so weak, right? Mexican fans thought the Mexico team was stacked. Look what happened when you went up against Germany.
Just Germany.
Yeah, they looked amateurish at best. And no offense to Mexican fans, obviously, because then Chile, who won the Copa America, who looks incredible, beats everybody, looked insane, also kind of looked amateurish against Germany. They held their own a lot better than Mexico.
Yeah, very much. Germany was more on their heels. But once that – the problem with Germany is that any team playing them, once they score first – especially in this tournament, where
they're so hard to score against.
Yeah, well, yeah, because once Yogi Löw knows the squad that he has.
Once
there.
He smells his own balls,
he gets the scent.
He realizes.
Really, the scent of his balls will determine the tactics on the pitch.
I mean, you guys make fun of him, but he's like,
yeah, it's
this
like
this is how we win.
It's someone using a crystal ball, like an oracle. You know,
he has instead of a crystal ball, it's a very wrinkly and sweaty ball. So is what it is
exactly, which is what a disgusting visual. But I think Chile lost by 1-0 to Germany, and just from a stupid mistake, the center back, I think his last name was Diaz, just held onto the ball too long. He probably had about three options to pass to, and I think especially in the first half, Chile was playing. They were so dominant on the ball.
Yeah,
they were clearly the stronger team. That I think a little bit of that arrogance is what let him hold on to the ball a little too long.
And the other thing about Chile is that their style of play is something that is hard to sort of adjust to. But if you can make those adjustments, if you can figure out sort of how their formation continues to flex and bend and move, and that Bielsa style, that Sampaoli style, our Lord and Savior Sampaoli. If you can,
you do have that tattoo on your shoulder.
Yeah, it's my entire back now.
Sitting on a crucifix. Yeah. Sampaoli on a crucifix.
Jesus giving him a thumbs up from a crucifix.
Jesus is just like, I know a thing or two, but this guy.
He seems really well prepared to lead. He's a leader, this one. So that style of play is hard to sort of mimic, and it's hard to sort of understand. But once you kind of make a couple adjustments, and if you can withstand the sort of the influx of attack that can sometimes happen, you're prepared. I don't know if Germany was able to necessarily do that, or they've sort of figured it out. Second half was a little bit different.
But
you make that one big mistake. Germany is smart enough to pounce on it.
That's it. Germany was just like, all right, five on the back line.
Yeah.
We're not going to try to do anything fancy. Yeah. They had a ton of chances to score more because Chile's up front,
Yeah, for sure. Chile sends everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the water boys up there. Yeah.
So they did have a couple of the chances, and it was a shame that they couldn't kill the game. But I think the biggest moment of the match was probably the VAR, video assistant referee, was probably the man of the match.
Yeah,
this one
took the night off, apparently.
It was very strange. So obviously, if you saw the game, at some point in the second half, Gonzalo Jara,
which if you remember, he's the guy who went knuckle deep inside Edinson Cavani's back door.
That was that Copa America also?
I believe that was the Copa America. Yeah, yeah.
Edinson Cavani, who plays for Uruguay.
Uruguay, yeah.
And he put his
PSG.
He put his
what do they call that? They call that something.
What, the shocker?
No, when someone puts a finger up your butt, you get
heaven?
Something. Yeah. Wow. That was from the diaphragm. Is the homophobe still listening? Do you think he's still listening? Or maybe it's a she.
So look, obviously this guy's infamous.
What do they call that? You're getting goosed.
Get goosed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
right.
Yeah.
So he got goosed.
That's right.
But oh my God, uncomfortably. Like, you know what they call it? You know what a fish hook is in a fight when somebody fish hooks you?
Yes.
They put your finger in your mouth, but then you pull out, mm-hmm. right? That's what happened up. Like, he pulled up.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
Like, he didn't just dip the finger in. Like,
yeah,
sometimes my lady walks by and I'm trying to do that. You know what I mean? Joking around.
No,
he went for it.
Yeah, it was enough for Edinson Cavani to file a report with the HR department. You got to mention it.
Yeah, which actually the HR lady looked at the VAR, decided it wasn't that bad.
wasn't even worth a file.
only got a stern
but
talking.
But the assistant referee, the video assistant referee.
So Jara, you didn't mention Jara.
Because Jara, so this, what ended up happening was there was an elbow on Timo Werner. And he elbowed him. They were both chasing a ball.
We talked a little bit about it before I saw the actual highlight because of this play I missed, right? So when you were talking about, like, well, the elbow was up, looked like he was trying to elbow his body. The elbow was up, and it looked like he tried to get away with swinging it by, like, oh, I'm turning around. It clearly was intentional. That should have been a red. That should have been an ejection. Yeah,
the elbow was intentional. Was he going for his face? I don't think so.
I honestly think so.
No, I don't think that. I think he was just aggressively going.
It's still bad to swing your elbow around that way.
It's deserving of a red, you know.
It's so funny, the tweet. You posted this one, the gif of what's his face? Meta World Peace, Ron Artest.
Oh, yeah.
Just massacring someone with
James
elbow.
Harden. That was James
Harden. That's right. Just when, massacring.
When Harden was with the Thunder.
Yeah.
That was like a big deal because he was suspended for a long. He got suspended for a lot of games. Yeah. But he just swung his elbow. He was like frustrated, but he hit James Harden.
But right. Commissioner Silver actually just said that it's cool. They looked at it again and he just gets a yellow.
But I had tweeted out like videos. VAR says no foul.
And it's just this repetitive just murdering of James Harden.
But that's to some degree that it was as bad, the Gonzalo Jara elbow.
Yeah. I mean, it was also as obvious.
And he clipped. I mean, it was like if it was a UFC fight, you would have been like, yo, good on Conor McGregor for getting that elbow in.
Yo, Jara obviously been training, right?
Yo, you doing ground and pound or like you're working with
Tima? Put your hands up, dog. What you even doing?
You didn't come to fight because this is clearly
you ain't blocking your face, dog.
Yo, this isn't a pitch. This is an octagon now. I mean,
come on now. Come on. Two clubs enter, one man dies. We know how this works.
Look, I mean, it's in the pamphlet.
I mean, come on.
The fans are there for a reason.
They're cheering. They're bloodthirsty out there, Timo.
But it was bad enough to deserve a red. And it was a great moment. You know, I'm watching it on the Fox Soccer broadcast, and it's I believe it's Stu Holden Stu Holden and Rob Stone.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
The bald guy. I forgot his name now. I hate
disrespectful.
I forgot that. But there was a lot of reality show tension of what is it going to be, a yellow? Is it going to be a red? And everybody watching it obviously was like, this is clearly a red card.
What's going to happen next?
I mean, literally, the camera angles going to zooming in on people's eyes, you know?
But I think there's also, like, we don't know what to do when there's a stoppage in soccer.
Yeah.
I feel like the production truck's like, wait. why they stop running? Yeah, we don't do this normally.
So, obviously, the referee goes to the VAR. Is there,
and they built it too, like, look at him, he's sternly walking
the three cameras on the screen showing walking over and the motion. How do you feel about the motion, the VAR motion?
The making the TV symbol, the box, the box in the air. I don't like it again after. I like they should do it before, like, I'm going to go look at the TV.
Yeah.
You don't do it again at the end, be like, based on the TV, you get a, and he gave him a yellow after all that.
Hey, that's right. And it was about a minute. He was looking at it. And I don't know how any referee looks at that play and it's like, you know what? Yeah, yellow's fine.
And you know, they were like, well, that was his third, so we'll give him a yellow. Like, it still wasn't even that bad.
I mean,
straight
it's
yellow.
Pretty crazy. I mean, I on Twitter, I saw a lot of people saying, you know, he's going to get reprimanded for that. And I mean, it's just a elbow. Look, for me, as a fan of the game, watching the game, I'm like, 11-on-11 is what makes it more entertaining.
Yeah, nobody wants to see 11-on-10.
And that game was one of the better games I feel like I saw this year. Like, it was just intense. It was just a 1-0 game.
Right.
But those last 5 minutes, Chile just pounding shot after shot, every opportunity they can try to get. And Ter Stegen was on fire. He stopped everything.
Yeah.
And it was intense. So I'm glad that we got to see 11-on-11 for the full 90. But Chile did not deserve to have 11 men on the field.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about Black Twitter, right? But no one mentioned Chile Twitter. They were like, no, it's fine.
Chile Twitter.
Well, smell his finger. I mean, if there's nothing on there, then obviously he didn't do anything that bad.
Exactly. Yeah, imagine you know, some meeting between Jara and Yogi Löw just smelling each other's fingers.
They both are just standing there with each other's hands in their noses. And he's like, good one. Yeah. I respect what you're doing very much. I don't know why.
A great game. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And obviously,
and kind of a fun tournament. You know, something that I think a lot of people really don't pay a lot of attention to. But it was a fun tournament.
It was a good preparation for the World Cup in Russia.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the, I forgot her name, but for the Fox broadcast.
Abdo.
No, not Kate Abdo. She's great. But there's a they had a Russian woman, a Russian sideline reporter. I forgot her name. It was like
Victoria.
Avradenko or whatever.
Maria Sharapova.
It was Maria Sharapova.
Yeah.
And she was just
putting needles in her thighs.
She was just delightful. She was just like clear, heavy Russian accent.
Yeah.
It was just like it was startling a little bit just to see this like Russian woman
speak so coldly but very with a nice smile.
I mean, if that's what's gonna be more of, I my preference is like it's an American broadcast. Just put an American person there.
Yeah,
they have Russian broadcast that air.
She's got more than enough place to get jobs.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just a little.
We're trying to bring back American jobs in Russia. Okay.
And now we think of Trump and this whole collusion. We're getting Russian reporters in a Fox broadcast.
What next on Fox?
On Fox.
Huh?
All right. You know, we don't want to be the conspiracy theory soccer podcast, but
these strings are starting to tie together pretty nicely here.
Exactly. I mean, we have the strings on our board right in front of us.
2 + 2 equals Russian coercion.
A bunch of other a great tournament. I enjoyed it a lot. But
and now Alexis Sanchez has played 738 straight days of soccer. Can he get a relaxation moment, please?
Probably Manchester City will give him a break.
Oh my god. Well, whatever. If we do get Lacazette and Mbappe, or Mbappe looks like it might not happen, but if we get Lacazette and Mahrez, you can keep Alexis Sanchez.
Oh, okay. Well, neither of those things are gonna happen. Well, Lacazette probably, but
yeah. Mahrez might happen too. He's not staying at Leicester.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I did hear that. Mahrez. Yeah. That'd be nice. Let's also talk about another international soccer news. USA played a friendly against Ghana. Ended up winning 2-1.
To watch a British person score against Ghana wearing an American uniform in a city that doesn't even play soccer in Connecticut. What a wonderful,
beautiful,
wonderful thing. Honestly, Dom Dwyer, I think.
Well, technically it is New England, right? Connecticut, kind of.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah. So that's he was basically home.
I got to be honest. You're not wrong. Right. To see that kind of means the most. The funniest thing, too, is that him and his wife both scored for America. Right. His wife is Canadian. He's English. Whatever.
None of it makes sense.
It counts. But it was a beautiful thing. He looked so happy to have scored. And he scored against Ghana. That's not a joke.
Yeah. I was impressed with...
They knocked us out twice in a row.
I was impressed with how they played. The U.S., obviously, they won 2-1. And I think that my biggest takeaway was how... how poised the U.S. team looked, especially and a lot of these guys.
This isn't even our B squad. This might be even some of our C squad.
I mean, there were a lot of I think who was it? Kellen Rowe, I think, was one of the ones that got some time. Like,
which just is dope.
A lot of new.
We're not making fun of these guys. This is great. No. Yeah, we want these guys to get some time. Jordan Morris didn't get in until like very close to the end.
Yeah,
Alejandro Bedoya. I mean, some of these names didn't even start.
Yeah, and I was happy to see how they played with, especially with just having this sort of new group together. And with the Gold Cup, I think I said this last week, but Dax McCarty is, I think, finally embracing like his leadership role in, for the Gold Cup. If this is the B squad,
right.
He is the captain of that B squad.
Right.
And he looked great. And he's really the, him and Kellen Acosta are the field generals Dax even more.
I've mentioned this about Dax for a long time that I felt like this is his sort of right. This is his ability. This is his skill set. He's starting to show that for the American team. But I will say that he's looked slow when it is the A squad.
Yeah. Comparatively. And, he's essentially... That's Michael Bradley's position.
Yeah.
So he's not gonna. He's not gonna.
It's not his position now. Other than barring an injury or something.
Yeah, he's
else.
Not gonna. He's not gonna win it. And not to say that Michael Bradley is wildly better than Dax.
He's also got the experience.
But he has experience, but I did. I was really proud to see Dax play so well and be that captain of that team. We do have to be happy about Dom Dwyer. His goal, if you didn't see it, just a crack.
Yeah.
It was
like a poacher's.
But it was a little bit
right place, right time.
Yeah, it was a little bit a great lead up play.
Yeah,
I forgot who was the one dribbling initially, but it was the it was like a deflection, ball bounced in the air, and he just, I mean, it was like a firing range at that point. He was that close.
Popped it in from close range.
But he caught it on the volley.
Yeah.
And blasted it in. And I mean, for your first cap, first goal, to do that. And not only he's just a bulldog.
Yeah, he is. He was putting pressure on that back line the entire match, man.
Yeah, I would love to see him play with that A squad.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to get the chance either. I think guys like Bobby Wood and guys like Jozy Altidore, they have that right.
But subbing in, having that guy,
he's going to put pressure. I mean, you talk about this all the time when it comes to soccer, right? You want, like, even like goalkeepers, you want four goalkeepers, right? Because you want to be able to have like a competition. He is going to make everyone else step their game up if they want to keep their starting position up front.
Yeah, because when
amazing
when you think of. Obviously, you know, he doesn't have the same experience playing, you know, he's never played international football. I mean, that's been his situation. He never got called up with England or anything like that.
But he's ours now.
That's right. But when you think of the competition, when I think of him compared to Bobby Wood, I would say they're similar players, right? I mean, they play a similar style.
Maybe. I think Bobby Wood is more of a threat from far away. I think Bobby Wood is a bit, maybe a little bit faster, you know, sort of has a bit more grace maybe on the ball. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that they're dramatically different.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of like a pairing. Like it to me, I think
Dom and Altidore would be great.
Dom and Altidore, but maybe replacing Clint Dempsey. I mean,
Dempsey's done.
He's close to done. He's 34.
Yeah. He's got a bad ticker. I mean, Jesus Christ.
So
he'd be at the Union, you know, if they were pipe fitters.
He'd be at the Union?
He would be out of the Union.
Oh, out of the Union.
Yeah. Okay. Could be at the Union. He'd be at the Union.
I'm like, what is
the Philadelphia Union?
All the guys with bad hearts go to the Philadelphia Union.
Yeah, you know how this works.
But yeah, and then we also got the goal from Kellen Acosta.
Which beast. First goal. First international.
First goal for him, yeah.
Yeah, and off a set piece and just whipped it in. They made a 7-man wall. That was ridiculous. And he aimed for the only American player. He aimed for Dex McCarty.
Yeah, well, I couldn't tell if Ghana, I mean, because Ghana, especially in the World Cup, they're always... They're very good.
Yeah, they knocked us out twice, as I like to say, and took Uruguay to the brink.
But this Ghanaian squad did not... I couldn't tell if they weren't very good or if the U.S. was just that much better.
I want to say it's not their A squad, but a lot of their A players were in there. You know, Asamoah Gyan was there.
Yeah,
he scored the lone goal for them.
Which was a blast.
I mean, you know, that's what he does. Mm-hmm. He can't do it for a club, but he can do it for the national team.
He also missed the penalty.
Yeah. And, you know, he gets paid up until recently, he was getting paid $300,000 a week in China. And they asked him, does he have any interest in playing in the MLS? And he says, absolutely. Like, immediately, before he finishes, yes, 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 I do. Please. I'm just simply waiting for that contract.
Yeah.
Or you're waiting for $300,000 a week from an MLS team? I keep waiting. Stay close to the facts, just in case.
But he just said it so fast that it was just like... you know, some Chinese mafia is like holding his family. Like, yes, yeah. Please, anybody, please help me.
I'm selling blood, whatever it takes to get this money.
But yeah, I couldn't tell. Yeah, they didn't look.
Akam was in there.
Akam was there.
I'm surprised Poku didn't get the call. We got a call.
Poku was there. Poku played.
No, for real.
Yeah, he was there. He came in. He subbed on towards the end of the game.
Because I missed part of the end of the game. All right, there you go. I didn't realize Poku was there.
Obviously the game was in Connecticut, simple trip to head out there. Yeah, it was cool to see him.
And shouts to I like the American kit, but if somebody posted this completely blank, it's $155 for that soccer jersey.
Yeah, I heard it's like a limited edition.
It's limited edition.
It's like one of those undefeated supreme Kith or whatever. Yeah. Hype beast.
The drop is on Thursday. You gotta be waiting outside.
Waiting outside.
Guys on phones with Germany. Yeah, I'll get you as much as I can fit in the bag, man.
People hiring people to wait on the line for them.
It's embarrassing. $155. Come on. I can't wait for the $16 bootleg from China. Okay. And the other thing, the Ghana kit was dope as hell.
Sure. Yeah.
Come on, black across the back with the stars in it. Dude, oh man, I want one of those kits.
You're much more a kit guy.
I'm a kitaholic.
Yeah, than I am. I like, there's a couple I'm into, but I'm not, you know, I try to dress myself like an adult. Not me.
The funkier the kit, the better. The best was I wanted that old Cameroon kit, which was like, it kind of looked like dashiki material, right? And I sent the picture.
Why you wearing a kufi, dog?
I'm like, read.
All of a sudden, he puts on this kit. He's an Israelite.
And I'm like, assalamu alaikum, Christian.
The tone of the podcast.
We should change your name, Christian. I feel bad for everyone's ears there. I'm sorry about that. We popped a bit. But what I was saying is I sent a picture of it to my wife. It was green and it had all the way across, like little elephants walking across in one area, and all the way down. It was all different sort of animals. It was like very, very funky. And I sent it to my wife and she wrote, "No, you'll look like a Christmas ball," which was, I know she meant ornament, but everyone knew what she meant when you said that. And I thought it was hilarious.
You also have a kit that looks like a tuxedo.
Oh, it's dope. That's the one I got that sent. Hummel sent that to me for my wedding. I got remarried for my 10th anniversary last year. And
to the same person.
The same person. Yeah,
you didn't
remarry. Married a whole new broad. sent out the old model, got in a new one. A little bit more yappy, but we're working it out. Remarried the same lady because I love her to death. I wore a painted tuxedo kind of soccer jersey.
Yeah. It looks ridiculous. Let's not be crazy.
It's dope. Ridiculously awesome. That's what you meant, right?
I mean, it doesn't look, you know, it's clearly, you know, it has an appeal to someone.
This guy and his wife.
She wore like a proper like dress.
No. She wore
not a wedding dress, but like a dress.
But she wore like an elongated ballet tutu. It's like a ballet tutu that goes all the way down.
Uh-huh.
And something else on top. I can't remember. Like a jacket.
She's you're a Hasidic bunch and you don't allow her to show any her ankles.
Come on now. You don't get remarried if you show ankles. No, I'm kidding. It's pretty cool. It looks like a wedding dress made out of a very big tutu. It's really awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for you.
Come on now. I married a beautiful lady twice and you so far zero. So
yeah, you're winning on the amount of marriages.
to the same lady, by the way. Keep that in mind. All right. Well, we've been talking for 40 minutes.
That's right.
And so far we've covered one game.
In the next segment, we have it's just us today. We have no guests. Interview. So we're just going to cover the rest of the games. Obviously some MLS and US Open Cup.
Yeah. Some really awesome stuff happening. So why don't you do this? Listen to this. There's a little break coming up, and then we'll be right back after that. Sound good?
Yep. Hey, guys. Christian here and Alexis.
Oh, yeah.
Letting you know about the t-shirts. Finally, we're announcing them. The t-shirts.
We've got merch, baby.
Merch. Cooligans t-shirts are available now at onthevolleyapparel.com. Pick up a shirt. You know,
it's dope
for yourself, for your lady, for your mistress. Obviously, your mistress really likes to look good.
Yeah, I mean, she wants to look good, or he wants to look good. Whatever
your mistress.
And you know what else? It's really cool, and we've done it with On the Volley Apparel. They've been a big sponsor of ours for a long time, and they've actually offered to be our partner in selling merch. So they actually helped us get off the ground a little earlier. Check it out. Go there. Use the code Cooligans. You'll get yourself a nice discount, and you can buy something else. You don't even just have to buy Cooligans gear. You could buy something else from On the Volley Apparel, but they're really awesome for working with us, and we really love it. Check it out. We're really excited. This is the first time that we have merch. Please go and buy it.
Pick one up today.
Yeah, baby.
All right, we're back, everybody.
Oh man. I mean, and not the busiest week, but a couple things happened, a couple games.
Yeah, there were a hot string of games.
In particular, US Open Cup.
That's right. This is last year I think I maybe watched one or two US Open Cup. I know I watched the final.
We paid a little attention. We watched the final. So
final, semifinal, but I feel,
which everyone knows was won by
FC Dallas.
No, sure, because I do remember that. Yeah, it was awesome.
And obviously, there were probably like 12 people in this arena to watch their game.
All right, well, I'm glad they tripled their normal attendance.
Not many for
they
that.
They could build great football players, but they cannot.
It's but it's
get a, football watchers.
I mean, but we had this conversation last year about just where their stadium is, and they have their own issues. Please stop using that fidget spinner.
Sorry, you know what? It's on the table.
I can clearly hear it on the microphone.
Do you hear it on the microphone?
Yes, I hear it clearly.
You know why I like it? It puts a cool breeze in my hand.
Yeah, this is why fidget spinners exist.
I hate them. My wife was given one for
people who can't focus.
Oh, man. I should have about 1,000 of them.
So, yes. But, yeah, Dallas has their own issues, and they probably need a stadium with closer.
They're not going to get it. They need that town to build up.
In the Dallas area. But, yeah, whatever. So,
well, they won last year. But this year, look, it's all up in the air. Anyone can win. I mean, as far as MLS teams come in later on in the competition.
In the fourth round. But I feel like this year, I paid attention to it. We both paid attention to it a lot more. And I think
there's also bigger stories this year.
Collectively, there's the U.S. Open Cup is getting, there are better stories, and there's more. They're getting a bit more buzz. Obviously, the FC Cincinnati and Chicago Fire game was on ESPN, which was great.
Huge.
So it's just getting publicized a bit more, and there's it still exists, but there's at least less of the, when people on Twitter, when they tune into ESPN, they're like, "Yo, ESPN, what's going on with soccer? Soccer on primetime?
Yeah, what is this, Australia?"
people losing their mind. But when it's like, fourth grade softball, they're like, "Yeah, this is the best."
Oh, man. Little League World Cup? I can't wait.
Little League World Cup. Exactly.
World Series.
But I mean,
Little League World Cup is actually pretty dope.
That would be
pretty cool concept.
Cool tournament. But yeah, I feel like I'm paying attention to it more, having more fun watching the games. And this FC Cincinnati game against Chicago was hot.
I don't think it's just a competition either. I think to mention FC Cincinnati, I feel like the competition has gotten better at the lower levels as well.
Yeah, and people talk about the pro rel stuff and I think. I'm not, Garber has said this, but and he's always kind of diminishing the lower leagues, but he's like, we can't
to some degree, but we
can't have LA Galaxy playing in
Chattanooga
in a stadium with 4,000 people. I mean, Chattanooga has way more than that, but
talking about FC Dallas maybe. I don't know.
But that seems to be the concern I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I think Garber is going to sort of set up the foundation of MLS. What Garber is going to do is going to be for a long time, for years, but I don't think he's going to be the guy we're not going to be pro rel under Garber. I don't see that.
Unless the owners come together and decide to do it. He works for the owners, which I also don't think is going to happen, although some of the more newer owners want that. But I agree with you. But to some degree, it's also the lower levels have to show fan base wise that they're at that FC Cincinnati, Sacramento FC. Some of these cities, they're showing that, FC Cincinnati is a standout hit. And from all the rumors going around online right now, they are the leader when it comes to the next round of MLS inclusion or MLS expansion, if you will. So they're clearly doing a lot of things right. Clearly, they have it's not a flash in the pan. Clearly, they've sort of figured something out, right? They're not the only ones. This isn't the only city that can happen. And I think that a lot of the guys that want pro rel point to that. Be like, look what happens in a city that MLS would have never went to, FC Cincinnati. They needed to do it this way, right? But also, the team is also a lot better. The one guy went to La Masia. You know what I mean?
Barcelona.
Yeah, they were at the Barcelona Development Academy. One of the guys in them. I mean, you don't see that a lot in MLS. You're seeing that at FC Cincinnati. Clearly, they've got a pretty high level of skill. They beasted Columbus, which was their huge. What do they call that? The Hell is Real Derby, which should be classical because they're not in the same city.
It sounds biblical. It's
what it is, apparently.
The Raining Fire Derby.
Sodom and Gomorrah Derby. But apparently there was somebody put up a billboard, a religious billboard that said Hell is Real in the highway that goes between the two cities. So they call it the Hell is Real Derby.
Oh, that's funny. I just imagine people like calling their congressman like, "I was just driving."
Yeah. Shockingly enough, I've had to explain to my children. It's hard to tell them it's not when some sign says it is. But also
it can also help children behave,
Yeah, well, that's why religion was invented, to be honest. But, you look at something like that and you look at 30,000 people showing up to see this team play. You see how hard they play and the fact that they're winning. They didn't just beat Columbus we were about to talk about it, but they also beat Chicago.
Yeah, I mean,
in one of the most entertaining ways to possibly do it too.
A 0-0. Obviously, it went to penalties.
It should have been 1-0.
Yeah, it should have been 1-0.
I can't remember the gentleman's name who got called offside. That was nowhere near offside. Where was the VAR?
Well, after the MLS All-Star break, yeah.
Somebody elbowed the VAR and he said, "Don't worry about it. It's actually just fine.
He's fine. Don't worry about it." He fell down a flight of steps. That's all. Yeah.
Don't worry about it. She tripped, bumped into something. We'll never burn the steak again.
But a big deal for Cincinnati, getting this far. And obviously, their next match. Matches against Miami
FC, which beat
Atlanta United. Crazy.
The team that I said would win MLS Cup losing to Miami FC. Poku scoring
the game winner. Yeah. If you don't know, Quadru Poku played for NYCFC.
Quadru.
You know what?
Poku.
When it comes to names, yeah. You're the last person I'm going to believe.
The only reason I know that is because I asked him. I asked him to his face. Sweetheart of a guy.
Very nice guy.
Apparently very lazy in training, but sweetheart of a guy.
That's according to Patrick Vieira. Can we really trust him?
I mean, I'm going to say yes because he's bigger than me. And I like a guy who just straight up wears Adidas with suits, you know?
He looks good. Yeah. He knows what he's doing. But... Yeah, Miami against Cincinnati, and two, I think partially both of these teams probably wanted at least one MLS team, the other MLS team to like, you know,
excuse me, sorry,
to win. It would have been a bigger.
Jeez, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. You okay?
Still happening. Yeah,
I think it was that. Get the fidget spinner. Right?
Yeah. Oh my God, I focus. I didn't even know you were here, Christian. I think it's good for attendance.
Yeah, you say.
Although Miami stinks at attendance.
Yeah, so I don't know where the game is going to be, whether it's going to be in Cincinnati or I'm sure they did the draw already.
I think no matter what the reasoning for deciding what city goes to, it should be at Nippert Stadium.
Yeah,
amazing.
It would be so much cooler to see. After Cincinnati won, there was all those a bunch of videos that were put out, and I just started paying attention to it a little bit more. And they have that great march to the stadium.
Yeah.
That they do where they all like kneel down and they have a big chant and then they all get up at the same time
and they
start walking towards the stadium. Yeah, it just it's one of those things where like they have everything. It seems like they have everything in place to like just be in the MLS, but they
just a new stadium.
They just need a stadium.
And I think they figured out where it's going to go. It's not going to be in Cincinnati proper. It's going to be across the water, overlooking Cincinnati skyline in Kentucky.
Okay.
Which is kind of a shame. You want it to be in Cincinnati. If it's called FC Cincinnati, you got kind of like a Red Bull situation going on there. But I know that area considers themselves part of Cincinnati. That's a part of it's a suburb of Cincinnati.
Covington.
If you will.
That's where I've literally crossed that bridge between Kentucky and Cincinnati.
Sounds like the beginning of a country song.
I came to get my girl. She was
after my dog done died. We hate country music on this podcast.
Do we hate it? I mean, so far we've said
that we don't care if pedophiles and what was the other one?
Racist and homophobes.
So no pedophiles. Racist and homophobes listen, but country music, that's where we draw the line.
No, you know what? I'll defend country music a little bit. They got some bangers out there.
They're no bangers. None at all.
Like tradition. I mean, like current country music. Like
we do not need a Dominican man defending country music on this podcast.
Like I'll say that current country music, which is basically pop, it's like pop country
with a twang.
That's awful. I cannot stand it. But like, you know, Johnny Cash, you know,
those guys are bigger than country music. They're, you know,
but that's the kind that bluesy country. I like.
I can't get with it. I believe that's called outlaw. If PK is listening right now, he tried to get me to listen to some outlaw country. And I'm like, yeah, you said the word country. I can't even say it right. It's like country.
Okay. All right. Well,
anyway, FC Cincinnati.
We just lost a huge fan base.
Yeah. Why are people still listening? FC Cincinnati doing a great job. And they're moving forward. So is Miami FC. Miami FC beasting Atlanta. Atlanta started a strong squad, too.
Yeah. They... probably should. I mean, they should have won this game, or should have gone to extra time or something. I mean, but when you put the magic of Poku in there, what are you going to do?
Put a little Poku in there. A little Pokery.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Potpourri?
Potpourri?
Not bad.
Not bad. Well, bad, actually.
Okay. It wasn't good.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, he got that late goal. And speaking of late goals, obviously, let's get into some MLS, Major League Soccer, the
Cali Top Flight.
Top Flight, obviously, the highest first league in the world.
Oh yeah,
there's no better league.
Yeah, by 2022.
Just give us a little time.
Yeah, we're working on it. It's
also,
under construction.
Also, remember, nobody's getting relegated. That's why it's cool.
Everyone's in.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Once you're in the building, you can't leave.
Yeah, MLS is the everybody gets a trophy of soccer.
It's that stupid video where they play soccer without the ball. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, imaginary ball.
Some people think that's real.
No, there's no way it's real. It's just
not real.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, very funny.
But it felt like a local news broadcast, a real thing.
It really, they did a great job putting it together.
Exactly. So, but the Cali Clásico happened. I call it MLS re-rivalry week, because rivalry week was last week.
Rivalry week two, the reckoning.
I think San Jose clearly wanted some revenge after the loss to LA Galaxy and it was probably like 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, and the letting go of their manager.
Yeah, a lot.
There was a lot they were playing for.
A lot changed, obviously. Yeah, Chris Leitch, his first game after they fired Dominic Kinnear. We talked about it last week.
Right, and by manager, I mean head coach. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Was anybody? I think people understood. Let's speak to the top of our intelligence, right, and presume.
What makes you think I'm not?
Because it almost at that point it sounds condescending. You're like, okay, listeners, look, you American, you don't know what we're saying.
No, I'm actually saying that because I'd rather use the American term for it.
Really? I don't mind both. I don't know.
I don't mind manager, but when we're talking about MLS, that's a head coach.
Okay,
that's the dude's title. It was on his business card. They burned them all.
Just get a new shredder.
Because yeah,
they did it.
Oh, he's like, really? I'm not even out.
They did it right in front of Dom.
That's how they told him. You see this? Oh, I should have known when you wheeled that shredder in here.
but San Jose wins this 2-1 and in spectacular fashion. I was watching this game and you just sort of expect with any Clásico, right? You expect nobody's going to make any like sort of huge mistakes, right? Anything. And the game started, the first goal from
Wondolowski, right?
No, from Yella Van Dam.
Yella Van Dam. Oh, the turn. Yeah.
Whoa, I didn't know.
Who knew he had it in him?
I didn't know his hips could thrust that way.
Are you kidding me?
That big ass Belgian.
Buddy, you out there on rollerblades? What's going on?
That was incredible.
Yeah.
That was a Dom Dwyer strike.
Yeah.
You know, that on like, it was a corner.
From your center back.
And the center, I mean, he has that bald head for a reason. He has that big noggin. That's why he does. He uses his head all the time. That's how he gets his goals. This goal was, you know,
fancy footwork.
Giving Alessandrini a run for his money.
He got nervous.
Alessandrini's like, oh my God, is there going to be some competition for the starting winger?
DeSantos is like, oh no, there's two of us out there.
That was I would say best goal from a center back this year, but Aiko Power had that bicycle kick.
Come on,
against
that's clearly number one.
I don't think it. We'll see if anything's gonna beat that, but that was I don't think any other great goal from a center back happened this season. But if something did, please let us know. I think
let us know. Tweet at us.
That was the best one. And then Wondolowski gets that route one goal. From the keeper, takes a bounce.
And that's, you know what? I know it's route one. I don't want to see an entire match of them trying to find that, but it's nice to see one every once in a while. That was beautiful.
It was nice. And Wondolowski to stop it. turn, and it took a deflection.
Yeah,
but good chance of it going in. I mean, it was a good shot.
Yeah, great shot. And you know, it's one of those things that it's part of his tool set. You know, that's one of the things he can do.
Yeah, but when he's 5 feet from the net, no, he's not gonna. He's gonna hit it over the bar.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Well, you know, the problem was he was wearing an American shirt. You got to put an American jersey on him. Then he's not gonna score.
Yeah, the American flag is his kryptonite.
Yeah.
Obviously the big moment was the final goal from Shea Salinas in I believe like the 93rd or 94th minute. And LA Galaxy loses in just spectacular fashion. I know this was tough on Van Damme because he received he got a red card after the match. Salinas is running around with his shirt off. And right. He's
celebrating a goal.
And Van Damme is he got a second yellow for dissent. He got the first yellow because he probably had a case here. There was a cross and he headed the ball towards the net, and Victor Bernardes hit it with his hand. Clearly hit it with his hand.
Clearly, blocked it.
But I mean, it wasn't intentional.
No,
I mean, I know that, but it was enough to.
The hand was nowhere near a natural position.
It was, yeah.
Unless you're pretending to be a scarecrow or something, or like pretending to be a tree.
Which yeah, those I love. Those center backs. Yeah. Wow, you made a good scarecrow.
That was yellow Van Damme until he got benched, actually.
But he had a case there, but he got a yellow card for arguing with the ref about that.
Right.
And then the second yellow after the goal was given up. So, the frustrating thing is that he couldn't take the loss well. So,
and he's going to miss the next match.
The dumb move. I mean, we know, like, obviously he's the captain of the team.
It's in his tool set, actually, speaking of.
But he gets enough yellow cards from fouls.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it.
You don't need it for extra stuff now. You don't need it for talking.
He doesn't need these. Yeah. It's just he needs to be in a little bit more control because he does pick up a bunch of unnecessary yellows. And
really,
and
look,
yeah, the accumulation and missing games for things that are so avoidable is a little bit dumb.
Yeah, especially if you're LA Galaxy. But the good news is that if you're an LA Galaxy fan, there's another Cali Classico coming up in about a week.
Yeah, the US Open Cup, another game. So
in less than a week, actually.
I mean, it's similar to what NYCFC and the Red Bulls.
Yeah, they had the US Open Cup, and then they played in the league.
They played it, exactly. So, I think they play one other time in MLS.
Yeah.
So, we'll see who gets like the tiebreaker, or if it ends up in a draw, we'll see sort of that result. But that was a good game. That
game.
I talked about it after the first Cali Classico, where I don't really we never really paid attention to it, but this one was hot. And I think having a player like Van Damme in LA Galaxy and how much adopted pride he already has for the city is great to see, because he came in there, it was first day, he was just like, I hate San Jose, they're the worst thing that ever happened to the United States of America. It's like, all right, bro,
you just got here, my dude.
yeah, you just like maybe
get a sandwich up there one day, talk to someone,
see what's
there.
Going on, you don't have to like come to a conclusion so quickly.
Yeah. Came in hot.
So it's good to see. So another team in the Eastern Conference that's just dominant, obviously they're in first place, the Chicago Fire.
Oh my God.
Where we will be.
Congratulations. You said Chicago.
Yeah. I've been conscious of it now because it's just like a fidget spinner. It's a distraction to the show.
and you get belittled as well. But we're going to Chicago for the MLS All-Star.
Yeah.
So it's great that we're not going to go there, and I have to apologize for you calling it Chicago. Chicago.
Chicago, which is a perfectly fine way to say it.
Yeah. If you are starring in a tribute to the West Side Story.
If you're starring in the film Blood In, Blood Out. Yeah,
exactly. Then you can say Chicago.
That's a very, very old reference. Watch Blood In, Blood Out. It's
Was that the Locos?
Yeah, it's like a Southern California, like Mexican gangster.
Well, listen, movie. That's where the whole gang thing comes from, is the bandido type of thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
But I remember watching this movie, and I must have seen it when I was like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, it's an old movie.
But that's a little too young to be. It's a kind of violent movie.
Kind of.
And it also, but just the title of the movie, Blood In, Blood Out. I'm just like, what is this? Like, I remember watching it like, with the same fear of, like, you know, when you're like a 5-6 year old watching Friday the 13th, watching a Jason Voorhees movie, like I was that scared about this film.
Right. Yeah. No, listen, it's one of those films that if you've never seen it, you should watch it because some crazy stuff happens.
And that's where I learned how to say Chicago. All right, bro. So leave it alone.
I'm going to Chicago. I'm like, all right, you're so Dominican.
Also, if you're listening to this and you're going to be at the All-Star game or you're going to be in Chicago, maybe you're a Chicago Fire fan, hit us up. We want to hang out. I don't know what people do.
Let's all go get food or something.
Yeah, what do soccer fans in Chicago do?
What's part of the culture?
Yeah, let's say, yeah. So we're totally down to...
At any point, do you guys just make fun of deep dish? Because I'm ready to do that. Let's all go get regular pizza, like tavern-style pizza then. I don't care if you cut it into squares. We should do something. We should do like a fan meetup.
Yeah, maybe a game. Maybe we could host a little game.
Okay.
A little Jimmy Conrad style.
I'm here talking about getting pizza. You're trying to sweat. And we clearly see what our first instinct is on this podcast. You're getting an obvious. First of all, that's not a surprise to anybody.
You know what? It's like, I'm like trying to do something athletic. Alexis is trying to plan a Thanksgiving dinner with Chicago Fire.
All right, why don't we do a bring your own roast? Everybody brings their own roast and we all judge each other's roasts.
Yeah, very different philosophies that we both have. But So hit us up if you're gonna be around there, please. We wanna hang out with you.
Oh, gotta be so dope.
So, you guys, the Chicago Fire, you guys in Chicago, you have the hottest team in the goddamn league.
You also have the hottest striker.
Yeah, he is a very sexy, sexy man. That's what you meant, right?
That's 100% what I meant. Is that homophobe still listening? What I meant to say is this guy cannot stop scoring.
That's right,
Nemanja Nikolic.
He is a beast.
Nikolic, am I right?
And watching him play is interesting because, you know, we were just at the NYCFC game against Minnesota United. We got to see Minnesota United for the first time in person, and lovely NASL squad they got going over there.
Exactly what you expect.
NYCFC were incredibly dominant, but watching Nikolic and watching this the way he plays as striker is, you know, he's not really on the ball too much.
No.
He's like, yo, put the ball where I need it.
Yeah.
And I'll do the rest of the work.
Just put it somewhere within where I am, you know, and I got it.
It's like one of those, like an arrogant wide receiver. He's like, if you put it up, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
I don't care who's covering.
I'm coming down with it. That's how he is. And what I love about it is that there's nothing that he does that's that incredibly outstanding. He's not that fast. Mm-hmm. He's not that incredibly skilled on the ball. He's not that wily, right? He's really good with spacing, incredibly good with spacing, incredibly good with timing, incredibly good with movement. But there's nothing that he does that you say like, oh, that's the, like a calm, you're like, you got to watch out for his pace.
Yeah.
You know, with other players, you got to, you know, what to look out for. With Nemanja Nikolic, you're not sure what it is. It's just the moment there's a ball, he becomes a shark.
Yeah.
There's nothing on his mind. His mind is completely clear.
He forget his
infinity white.
Exactly.
It's just one thing, that ball touching the back of the net. Yeah, and that's it.
He's just like, I don't know my kids. I don't know my wife.
Yeah. I don't have any kids.
All I know is the soccer ball. And blasting it through this villain that's guarding it.
Right. That guy has my kids and I need to score to get it back. This is his version of Taken. He has one set of skill.
he's a beast.
It also doesn't hurt that he has an incredible midfield passing him the ball in the perfect space.
The point I wanted to make was like, well, you know, Villa scored a great goal against Minnesota the last week. And watching the way he plays the game, which is way more technical on the ball, shifty, just like he makes the right move. He confuses the defender.
He draws them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Nikolic is not. He has I don't got no time for defenders.
I mean, why am I going to be slick? You know what I'm going to do. No,
they know what I'm doing. Yeah. I know what they're doing. Like, let's just get out of here.
It's like Arjen Robben. Arjen Robben's like, buddy, I got one move. I'm just letting you know what's happening. I'll even tell you when it's coming. You're not going to stop it, but it's one thing.
Yeah, and it's incredible. Incredible to see just the way he sort of, the way he plays that position, which is very different from a lot of, you know, he's the... Golden Boot leader
right now
at the moment,
and I don't see him stopping anytime soon.
There's just no way.
The funny thing about him is he's kind of like a poacher that plays with his face to goal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's kind of like a poacher, but he's also like aggressively attacks the center backs.
Yeah,
and he splits them so easily, man. He's so good at it.
I don't know how every team is not just like, yo. Mark that dude. You know, yeah. His first goal, which was, I think it was a cross from the Lou, if I'm not mistaken, but it was one of those, like, do you know who you're playing against?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just you got to watch that guy because he's been doing this all year and kind of embarrassing people. So it was just, you know, Vancouver is a, you know, they have their issues.
I mean, Bolaños, man. We had Chris James was on our podcast, mm-hmm. who hosts Podcaps. The White Caps podcast, but he was saying Bolaños just cannot score. He's like just not able to score, and it's so funny watching this game. It just reminds me of him every time. I'm wondering how he just looks watching that Bolaños just hit every post and every crossbar and just miss by a few inches every single time.
It's gonna be tough for most teams to play against Chicago,
and I wonder why Montero didn't start. Speaking of,
I mean who knows? I mean, I think they mix it up just to try to, like, hopefully somebody can score. Like, you know, Vancouver, they have their issues where, like, they don't have any real run of consistent form.
Not at all.
On offense. I mean, them giving up four goals is very unlike Vancouver.
Yeah.
But them losing is very like Vancouver.
There's all these rumors about Wesley Snyder coming into the league. A team like Vancouver needs a player like that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they'll ever spend the money on that. But
he was rumored, I think, for
Montreal.
Oh, for Montreal.
I think it's changed. I think LA Galaxy now.
Or LAFC.
Oh, is it?
I think it was LAFC.
All right. Maybe I assume maybe it was Galaxy. Maybe you're right. It's LAFC.
But
the Los Angeles former Chivas. So great.
The goal from Arturo Alvarez, which was great. Just a great, another on the volley, great cross. And he, one of those like, oh you could do that?
He took a hold of the whole thing.
Yeah. I loved his celebration. Did you see his celebration?
No, I didn't.
Afterwards, it was...
He had like kind of like he was stacking Jengas.
Yeah. That's the move. Yeah,
that's the move.
It's a great name for it. Stacking Jengas.
Stacking Jengas.
it was cool. It was good to see that. A little bit of like flexing on him. A little style.
Yeah. You're stunting on him a little.
Yeah, because a lot of players don't. They don't go. They celebrate. They have a little fun. But we kind of need those like Jesse Lingards and Memphis Depays of the world and the Pogbas to be like, yo, let's just have a little fun with this.
MLS needs a little bit of that flair, a little bit of that flavor.
Yeah, we had a dab from Kyrie Shelton early. Was it early this year or last year?
No, it was last year, at the end of last year.
Yeah, a little dab. You know, I mean,
we could use a little more than something they're already doing out there. Exactly. Alvarez.
Yeah, Arturo Alvarez.
No one else is doing that.
Yeah, that was a good move.
Yeah, that's his own thing.
Yeah, it was just like you could just picture him in the club, just like just doing that move.
That's it, the whole time until the check comes.
Just posted up against the wall, like yo.
Like, we don't even know who this guy is. He shows up every week. He's got that move.
So Chicago now.
Lou, by the way, scoring his first goal of the year.
That's
right. Forever.
Yeah.
You got all this firepower around you. You can't score.
No pun intended, of course.
Yeah. Oh, very nice.
Chicago firepower.
People knew what you meant.
No, I'm trying to be as condescending as you are.
Oh, okay, cool.
Look, manager.
It works.
A manager is.
So the head coach. Cute term you guys gave for a manager. It'd be funny if the homophobe was upset about that. They thought that was. He thought that was condescending. He's like, look, you keep calling me homophobe, which is fine, but. Because I am, but come on.
Yeah.
Talk down to me because I like to say head coach.
I just find it rude and offensive.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you've gone too far.
So Chicago's sitting at first place. Toronto lost against FC Dallas.
Yeah. The top three in the East, by the way, are the top three in the Supporter Shield race.
Yeah.
West is like falling apart. What's going on?
It is interesting to see, especially compared to, the first year for NYCFC. and second year of NYCFC, just how, NYCFC finished second last year, but they didn't have this consistent form throughout the year.
No, not at all.
And this year they're competing with the best in the league.
Yeah.
And those two teams happen to be right above them. I think they are four or five points from first, and I think they're three or four from second. But
at this point, just keep pace with Chicago and Toronto, because obviously when you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. But clearly Chicago on pace to win the Supporter Shield.
But if how do you feel NYCFC got second place last year in the playoff standing,
right,
and ended up getting that first game bye?
Right.
They didn't have to play the knockout round.
Right.
Do you think NYCFC would have a stronger chance, or would be even better off playing in the knockout game and then playing in the...
In other words, not having the bye.
Not having the bye.
Yeah, because that bye sometimes makes you relax. The other team comes in a little hotter. They just won. They're the momentum. They have momentum. I'm not so sure. I think with the age group that we have, it's probably best to give them a break.
Okay. I mean...
They're pros.
It has to be... there has to be a better result than last season, which was giving up seven goals aggregate against Toronto.
Yeah, and I think Patrick Vieira knows this year not to walk in and try to make it like Krasnodar in the Champions League and you have to play super defensive away on the road so that you don't give up, maybe try to sneak in a road goal and so you can get them when you come home. You don't have to play that way.
Exactly. So the other game we wanted to talk about was
I apologize to all the Krasnodar fans, by the way.
Yes, but leave reviews, Krasnodar.
Yeah,
fans,
yeah, absolutely. All you Krasnodar homophobes that are listening. Imagine there's like four guys right now in a room listening going, damn it.
We have to review it.
Yeah. They asked us to.
The other nationally televised game was Portland against Sporting Kansas City. And this game ended 1-1, which probably should have ended 2-1. If your boy Diego Valeri did his job.
Yeah.
but they I sort of expected this game to be like pretty defensive, and also, you know, Sporting Kansas City didn't have Beisler, didn't have Dom Dwyer.
Dom Dwyer's not there.
You know, Portland, you got this is the game you win because they don't have their best players, and right. Also Jerso Fernandez got hurt. He might have a separated shoulder.
Oof.
So that was a huge bummer for them. But
yeah, he's been amazing this year.
But they were down so many of their best players. Portland, you gotta get it done.
Gotta get the job done.
Valeri with a crack. What a blast of a goal. Tim Mila, it's not easy to get goals past Tim Mila. He's been...
No, I think he's about to break a record or something this year so far.
Best keeper in the league, without a doubt. And Valeri just... I mean, you could just feel the frustration in that blast. But he had a chance to put Portland up 2-0. There was a penalty. Oh, I don't remember the exact call of the penalty.
Neither do I right now.
I wish I remember. But this was who was dribbling? I think it might have been Nagby. Very soft penalty.
Went down easy.
Yeah, it was on Melia. The foul was on Melia. And Melia, I mean, you can read his lips. He goes to the ref. He was like, "Bro, that was soft."
Yeah,
I mean, and he didn't
called him Terry Cloth. That means you're very soft.
Just Charmin Ultra.
Yeah. Oh man,
with lotion,
ice cream. Called you TCBY, dude. You soft, sir. You some Pinkberry right now.
He did. He went down very, very easy. And and I love that moment. Mila was
Do you
like,
hate that? Do you like that? Do you care?
What that they when they,
someone goes down a little easy in the box.
I mean, there is that gamesmanship, but and I understand it, and it's on the job of the ref to like see, you know, call it correctly.
Right? I wholeheartedly agree. It's the job of the ref to be like, that's allowed, that's not allowed. But to some degree, I kind of respect it.
Yeah,
it's part of the game.
It is part of the game. I mean, this was, if I remember correctly, I don't even think Tim Melia touched him at all.
I'd have to rewatch.
Yeah, I have to. I mean, it must have. It was either nothing or very, very little for the player to drop that easily. But regardless, Portland had that opportunity and Diego Aguilera decides to kick it right down the middle.
Right down the middle.
Which is, that's where Tim Mealy hangs out.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know if you noticed. That happens to be where he's standing. Although, you know, people say that it takes balls to kick the ball down the middle. It takes more balls to just stand there if you're the keeper.
Sure.
Because I'd be flopping all over the place. I would have dove as far as I could, which probably isn't that far, but I would have dove as far as I could in any direction that I just assumed they were going.
Yeah. A bummer for Valero, who's buried a ton of penalties this season.
Which, by the way, we talked about FC Cincinnati. We didn't talk about Hildebrand.
Oh, Hildebrand, yeah.
Stopping 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Monster. But anyway, back to talking about Portland.
How do you feel about the decision to kick down the middle and when the keeper blocks it? I mean, is it a bad penalty to try to go down the middle?
Yes, always. But it's the same as if you did, or I should say, and it's the same as if you did like a Panenka, you know what I mean? And it doesn't go.
Always look really bad when they don't go in.
I mean, you look like an asshole.
The last one I remember was Venezuela against, who was it?
I can't remember.
Was it Chile?
Now.
No, it wasn't Chile.
Was it Mexico?
No,
we were doing the Flama stuff.
It might have been Argentina.
Uruguay. Was it Uruguay?
It might have been Uruguay. Or Argentina.
Yeah. And we were doing the Flama thing.
Yeah, yeah. And
I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And those look so great. It looks, when a Panenka goes in, it looks like you're just like, it's like walking away from a burning, from an explosion. You look like the coolest dude in the world. Slow-mo looks great.
It like you knew ahead of time, like, yeah, this dude's garbage. Look what I'm going to do.
But when you miss it, when the keeper just like doesn't move and it's like, nah, man. Oh. It looks like the worst decision you could have ever made in your life.
Everyone was just staring at you like, what were you thinking? Like, oh, it's not me. Why didn't he move? Why didn't he dive? It's not my fault.
Yeah, it's, you know, most of the time, keepers dive in one direction.
Yeah.
Emilio was just like, maybe he had did his homework and knew Valeri likes to go. I know he went down the middle early in the year as well. I think it might have been against like Columbus or something.
Yeah, but you never. I mean, I would have psyched myself out. You have no idea. Is it going to go left? Is it going to go right? Is it going to go straight? Is it going to hit me at the top? Oh my God.
I think Villa, he's one of my favorite penalty takers. He hits the side of the net almost all the time.
Yeah, and he hits with power.
And any direction.
Yeah.
But yeah, Valeri goes up right down the middle and yeah, too bad. But they couldn't do much after that. Portland is a team that when they play against a better side, they don't have that. They don't have the firepower. I mean, like Adi has his good games, but Adi is like when the back line for Sporting Kansas City, they're tough. I mean, they're tough. They're all great.
Even without Beasler and Zusi there.
Yeah, they have Oparo. They have Jimmy Madranda. They have who's the other dude? They just have like they're a tough bunch. And then when you have Melia there as sort of the captain of that back line, you're not going to get much past.
And this is, I think, the only rub against Fernando Adi is that sometimes he disappears in matches.
I mean, he's a large man. It's very difficult to disagree.
Which makes my point even greater, Christian.
I think when you have the pace that Sporting Kansas City has, especially in the midfield, who's the defensive midfielder? They have a couple guys that are just like, Espinoza. Ilya,
not playing all that great, but Ilya, he's there.
Ilya Sanchez. They have a couple guys that Latif Blessing. He's the guy.
That's who you're talking about.
Blessing is just, he's a beast. Fast. I mean, they're strong defensively.
Recovers very quickly.
And, Portland looked like they getting past those defensive mids.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, who's after that? It's like in the level of a video game, you get to the next level and it's more challenging. And that's what Sporting Kansas City is. I mean, their back line has been, their defense overall. I think they have the lowest goals allowed in the league.
And we've also talked a lot about how much firepower they have and how many shots on goal they get and how sort of electric they are moving forward. But we very rarely talk about how great defensively they are because they have so much other stuff going on. But you're right. They're incredibly strong defensively and enough to be able to hold someone like Fernando Adi at bay for a while.
Yeah. A shout out to Wayne Powell. Big Lemieowski on Instagram. We all where I was talking to him a little bit because he had posted. I think he went to the Sporting Kansas. He was in Kansas City to watch the game. He went with the away fans.
Oh, dope!
And I had wrote back to him like, what a crack from Valeri.
Yeah.
And then he responded. He was just like, well, he should have done it from the spot as well.
Yeah.
It's a little frustrating.
It's good fan. Not letting it go.
But I mean,
thank you for the compliment, but did you notice this?
But it is a bummer for traveling fans. You're up up against one of the better teams in the league. Have a penalty, you can kind of put the game away and you don't
convert.
They got the goal was from Daniel Saloy, who I believe he replaced Gerso.
Gerso, yeah.
He replaced Gerso and ended up scoring. It was a great goal.
Which, remember, like 2 years ago, they lost that. What was the guy's name? Like Naismith or Namath? I can't remember the dude's name. European dude. They lost him and they're like, oh, how are they going to replace him? Now look at the amount of depth that Kansas City has.
Yeah.
What they're doing is amazing.
Yeah. When we were talking to Sofiane Benzaza, who covers Montreal, and he was saying how Peter Vermes and Sporting Kansas City are kind of like,
that's the model.
That's the model. Yeah. Of like how to, he's the longest tenured coach.
Yeah. Head coach.
Head coach. Head manager.
Yeah.
Head
manager. Manager.
of MLS. So, because of that just strong consistency throughout year after year, they're just always playing incredibly well.
Yeah.
But the last thing I wanted to talk about, which was, pretty fun and very weird, I thought. The New England Revolution. Revolution played against Toronto last week,
right?
And in their match this week, which I forgot who they played. It doesn't matter who they played, but Diego Fagundes was suspended for this match, and he got
suspended because of the stomp.
He got suspended, but he wasn't sent off during the game. He got suspended after
they call
game.
It DISCO, the disciplinary commission.
That's right. So he got they looked at the video and they said this is worthy of a suspension.
Right.
And in that same game against Toronto, so he has stepped on Jovinko, and in that same game, there was a moment where Jovinko, and you probably saw this online,
we retweeted it,
getting shared around, but Jovinko kicked. What's his name?
I forget the dude, but he was a defender.
Yeah,
in the nuts from behind.
Well, he's a new his name Gershon Kofi.
Yeah.
So he's their new signing.
Right. Welcome to the league.
Yeah, I think I think he's a winger or I forgot exactly what position he plays, but he, he's basically shielding the ball from Jovinko, and Jovinko decides to kick between his legs up to try to reach the ball.
The ball's kind of like bouncing in between the guy's legs, but in front of him, and Jovinko's behind him.
So,
Jovinko's small enough to see it, right? He can see it.
So, Jovinko looked up and he saw in between his legs, and he saw that the ball was there.
So he jumped and punched this guy in the nuts. No, he kicked towards the ball, but it just so happened this guy's package was in the way.
Yeah, he went for the ball and got the balls.
Yeah. He tried to hit one. And he got two. And the dude kind of didn't fall. He kind of just stared down at his nuts like, ow, why do I have pain in my nuts? Oh, yeah, that's right. This tiny kid just kicked me in my nuts.
Yeah. Children tend to do that, right? You know, at a young age, you start realizing like men's weakness. So you can just.
Did this for years. I mean, we still do this, my friends and I. Now when we see each other, the nut tap. Is that not the funnest thing in the world?
Okay, all the homophobes listening, yes. Yeah.
You just slap someone in the nuts, but like you spring back, that hurts even more. The follow through cushions the blow.
Yeah,
you gotta snap back.
And the follow through, it's a very different.
Yeah,
it's a whole different gesture if you just follow through. And
by the way, way more awkward the slower you go. Yeah, you go fast. All right.
Yeah, it's no longer a nut tap. Yeah. It's more of a nut caress.
Yeah. Making eye contact. My Jade is playing in the background.
So Jovinko does this, and those two things happened.
Yeah,
both players were not sent off. Once the suspension was handed to Diego Fagundes, the New England Revolution,
they took it to the internet.
They took it to the tweets.
Yeah. Trigger fingers turned to Twitter fingers.
And they tweeted this video
Of the two fouls. Yeah, next to each other.
And it shows the Fagundes foul, and then a big red screen that says suspension.
Yeah.
And then it says and then they show the Jurinko foul, and then it's a big green screen and it says no suspension.
No suspension.
And this video is about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And they keep repeating this in different speeds.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
With the announcers on it.
With so this was the
most heavy-handed.
Twitter shade sub. You know, I made the joke about subtweeting. It's like New England has no idea what.
There's no subtlety whatsoever in this. It's like someone writing a song for the first time. I love you. That's it. Yeah. I want to marry you. You're the girl from down the block. Like, you know, a couple albums they're like, there's a bit more subtlety to it. There's emotion attached to it.
There's not much poetry in there. Yeah.
There's none at all.
And they put out this video. I mean, when it comes to, my mentality with other sports, I know how it all works, where you get fined if you criticize the refs, right? We love the post game conferences where the coach, especially in the NFL, was like, you play to win the game, and we knew exactly what they were, where they go so crazy. But when there's a line, right, if you criticize the referees, you will get fined.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if MLS has this exact rule. They probably do. I mean, probably not to that extent of like a $30,000-$40,000 fine,
right?
Because no one could afford it,
right?
But there has to be
an entire salary. That's a rookie salary right there.
That there has to be something, some sort of penalty. I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was like, there has to be some penalty for New England doing this, because this is, you're criticizing.
Well, if LA Galaxy got a stern talking to for their hilarious meme.
But that has a different context, right?
Yeah, because this has to be bad. This is worse. This has to be more than a stern talking.
There is literally no humor in this.
I think the New England Revolution is going to get suspended. there's no humor in this. This isn't banter at all.
Yeah, and even from, look, coming from a.
In fact, this is snitching.
This is. Yeah, that's our biggest problem with it, man. You gotta
stop snitching.
You gotta stop snitching. That's the campaign that MLS needs to start.
Cameron started it, and I'm willing to take up this mantle. You gotta stop snitching.
Yeah, this was a thing where I watched it, and if, even from a comedic perspective, as a comedian, I'm like, I'm watching this video, and I'm like, oh, where's the punchline coming?
Yeah,
and it was just like,
not even funny music.
Yeah, nothing. No. This was just like a diary entry, an angry, like, my parents just don't understand. Yeah,
this was an internal video that made its way to Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have added like a boing, you know what I mean? Something
to add some levity to it. But this just looks like when you look at the video, no one's suggesting that Diego Fagundes should not have been suspended. He did. Whether intentional or not, he did step on Jovinko, and that he's a little boy. Don't do that to him.
Come on, leave that atomic ant alone.
It looks worse, you know, because he's so small. But their complaint was, it's like a tattletale. It's like, no, but you didn't even punish. You didn't
remember last week when?
Yeah, it's just like, yo, that's it. You got suspended. You just look at You look at your offense.
Yeah,
and the Jovinko. His offense has nothing to do with yours.
Not at all.
Again, I don't know how Jovinko does not get a red card for kicking a man square in the nuts.
They're both right. They're both right.
You're both right. But what are you going to do? You can't let go of Diego Fagundes' his offense.
No.
Because it really did look that bad, and it was incredibly dangerous.
Yeah, for sure.
So, he was a little too aggressive trying to get the ball while a player was down. And you get suspended for it, dog. Stop complaining. Stop complaining.
Take a break.
And they lost the next game, obviously.
Yeah.
They got crushed.
Ooh. No wonder you tried to fight that, huh?
So let us know what you thought about that whole video. If you haven't seen it, just go to our Twitter feed and you can see that New England Revolution video. It is pretty absurd. And
the fact that it's 2 minutes long is probably the funniest part. Like, they would not let the subject go. You know, this replays, right?
I would have loved if New England put that opera like.
Like, make a 30 for 30 about it. What if I told you? Oh, man. So there's a lot of stuff happening. I know it's kind of like weird news time. Friendlies are happening. Confederation Cup is done, but a lot going on. U.S. Open Cup is heating up.
That's right. Well, we're going to a U.S. Open Cup game this Friday.
Yeah, I can't wait.
We're going to go see two games that are at Red Bull Arena, which are Costa Rica, Honduras, and Canada. Again,
so that's not a U.S. Open Cup.
No, that's not you. I was talking about
Gold Cup.
You said Gold Cup.
No, I said Open Cup.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, but there's also Gold Cup happening, which we're going to go to those games.
We're going to go to a Gold Cup game.
Yeah.
So, Canada against French Guiana and Costa Rica against Honduras. We're going to see that. So
pretty dope.
Probably going to get to see Kyle Larin pulling up on the wrong side of the road.
Skirt, skirt.
Parking his whip in at center field.
Yeah, it's just like, which way is the goal?
So again, another fun episode. Thank you for again all the kind words for episode 100. We're gonna bust our asses to make sure the next 100 are dope. And
we're honored. We're honored that you would send all those beautiful messages. And whatever, man, we're doing this for you guys. We're trying our asses off to entertain you guys. So if there's something that you think is missing or something that you absolutely love or something we haven't done in a while and you want us to bring it back, I don't know what that might be, let us know.
Yeah. So yeah. Do all of those things. And we have 30 reviews on iTunes.
We could do better than
that.
And
I'm trying to get that up. So
we see the numbers. We have a lot more listens than that. A lot.
Look, and we're reaching out to any of the racists, homophobes, pedophiles, criminals. We're reaching out to anybody who would review the podcast. Obviously, we don't want to hear.
Don't show up to our events.
We don't want any of your rhetoric. We don't like it. We don't allow it. But you know what? When it comes to...
You've got a few kind words in you.
When it comes to iTunes reviews, all reviews matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Just hit us with the 5 stars. Keep the hate speech to yourself. But hit us with the 5 stars. It would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so please do that because it helps us climb up in the rankings in iTunes. And that way more people will, hear about us.
Yeah. I mean, we're more entertaining than everyone else. So why not give us a couple 5 stars?
Exactly that. So thank you again for listening in, everybody.
Yeah, this has been episode 101.
101. Oh, my God. The next 100 are going to be...
Pure fire.
Pure fire.
Pure Chicago fire.
Chicago fire, which we will be in Chicago.
Yeah, that's right. And if you're in Chicago, let's start planning something. Let's all go grab a bite, and then we can all watch Christian run around the table if he wants to spill the sweat. Well, anyway, my name is Alexis Guerrero.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!